somebody else do that for me.
We can do it. I can never
do it. Oh, no. No.
I would like to hear that.
Yeah, Rick, why don't you do it?
Oh, Lord. Oh, no. Hold on. Oh, I don't like that look.
We are here today to hear from the finest flower of Hearts Creek, the woman with the golden voice, the little girl standing on the rock, my dear friend Elaine Perkey, with whom I have shared a struggle and a story or two, most of which are better left unspoken.
Yes. Bethel, my husband, right after I got back, who's a coal miner, third generation coal miner, and he Christian on it, and Wallace Horn started the radio program, Wallace Horn Friendly Neighbor Show, and on Logan Radio, and I'd go up there and sing, and then when he got sick and passed away, before he passed away, he signed it over to me. So it's the Wayne Perkins Friendly Neighbor Show now. Tell everybody that my birthday, my actual natural birthday, was May 29th, 1949, but I really wasn't born until in the 1980s after I met Rick and got involved in all of this stuff, because that's when my blood really started pumping. Always before that, people, I mean, I was just mundane. I did all this singing, and you know, went to church, did all the things I was supposed to do, had babies and raised them, and I cooked and I cleaned and took care of everything, and that was it. I was known by the company I kept. You know, nobody knew who I was. But that changed everything. That takes some getting used to. And I sang Linda Mead, a friend of mine, died and at my house. And they wanted me to sing at a memorial they were having for her at Charleston. And that's where I met all of these traditional performers, and it was like, gosh, you know, it seemed like the skies had opened up and just started pooping right on top of me, and it was like everything was happening all at the same time, all at once, and from that, people started calling, and then, I can't remember the name of that organization, yeah, who was that that had her come there? Yeah, it was a women's group, and but they had her, had Ronnie Gilbert come to Charleston. This was after the strike started, the Pittston strike of the 80s started, and they had her come over there for a concert in honor of the miners, you know, and the miners' side of that strike. And she had heard about me at Camp Solidarity down in Virginia, and she said, do you all know this woman? I've got to meet this woman. And so they called me and asked me if I'd come over there and do a couple of union songs. Well, I didn't know any union songs. I hadn't done anything like that at all. And so I learned Solidarity Forever. No, it was one about the women on picket line. No, not picket line ladies.
What did you got for song?
Union Maid. Yeah, Union Maid. And so there was, it's like Solidarity Forever to me when I first started learning that song. It had too many words in it. You know, a person could hyperventilate trying to sing that song, especially a person that couldn't play guitar very well. And so I was sitting on the bed practicing one night, and I was listening to the TV, and I heard all this junk going on being said about the strike and about people in the strike, and I thought, you know, we shouldn't have to be doing this. We should not have to fight for our right to work and make a good wage, a good living. And that's when I wrote America, Our Union, and sang it over there, and got a standing ovation. And I thought it was the miners that did that, but it wasn't. It was the people that were there that just came to support them. That was the people that started the standing ovation. And it was something. And I had to sing another song, and that's when I actually did sing Solidarity. Even though, but I didn't sing it with my guitar, because I could slow it down really well and, you know, leave a few words out if I didn't sing it with my guitar. So I did it a cappella. And America, Our Union is acapella also.
That was the first time you ever
wrote. Picket Line Ladies was right about then.
Everything was right about then. I don't even remember the first time we met.
We met at the parking lot at Hardee's.
Oh, was it really the parking lot?
Jeff might have been there. Well, you were working, And I just tried to learn to play guitar, and I said, you flat pick or finger pick, and then we went out in the parking lot, and we both got out of the car, and I embarrassed myself, and you did all right.
Was that the time that I told you that you could do a whole lot better singing if you would raise your key and quit trying to sing in such a low key?
Which Elaine called a kind. You remember that?
Yeah.
Put the kind on the guitar.
And you called it a capo.
Right. I guess still call it the kind for people in Vermont. Put the kind on there.
People ask me what a capo is, and I tell them, I say, it's a guitar clamp. Oh, no, I don't say clamp, I say clamp. It's a cheater bar. And then by the next time that I saw Rick, though, was about a month later, here he had, I mean, he could do so much more on a guitar than I could. I mean, he was a better guitar player than I was at that point. He just kept getting better and better and better. And then we did some Bob Dylan stuff together.
We used to do Rising High.
Yeah. I love that song.
And you would do tonight, you know, I'll Be Your Baby Tonight. Isn't that the one you would do?
I don't remember.
Close the door, you don't have to worry, bring that bottle over here. Remember I'll Be Your Baby Tonight?
Yeah. I'll be your baby tonight. Yeah. I forgot about that song. I ain't done that since I've done it. But that just started a whole roller coaster. I mean, it's just everything. It'd be hard to put everything in perspective. I didn't keep notes.
I got to tell one.
Oh, Lord.
So they gave me crap for my partner for Bob Dylan, who won the Nobel Prize for this.
That's just so cool, I think.
And once during the Pigeon strike, and then there were these scabs driving through cars with all kinds of hell breaking loose, and I told Bethel, we ought to get Bob Dylan and just crank it up real loud. And he said that might hurt some of our own people.
I used to tell Bethel every time something would come on the radio, I would say, it's Rick's favorite singer. Would you tell me, please, what he sees in that man? What? How can you enjoy that? Because he just growls. He doesn't sing a tune. But I learned to appreciate Bob Dylan's music simply because you need to listen with your whole head and not just your ears. And when you start listening to the words and to what he wrote and the genius that was in all that, it's like, yeah, man, this guy's got something. It doesn't matter how he sings it. And that made me start listening to other people that I had liked over the years. Hank Williams Sr. I don't like Hank Williams Sr.'s voice. I don't like to hear him sing, but I love his music. And I'll listen to him sing at any time because he's the artist. You know, and there's a lot of people like that. And if you go back and you listen to 1950s rock music, so much of that was out of tune.
Off key.
Chuck Berry hit so many bad chords, I never heard the beat in my life. I said, I'd rather listen with my entertainment ears than I would like the teaching ears. I mean, it's terrible. And the horns, I love those saxophones, but man, were they off. Some of them weren't even on key the whole time they were in the song. But it's still good stuff. From the heart.
Some of the labor songs you wrote.
Yeah, will you talk about that?
One Day More would have to be the biggest one. And that was really weird. That included a car breaking down right in the middle of Logan and everything.
It was like a 12-hour period, wasn't it?
It just took me 12 minutes to write that song. I had to study about it because I didn't know anything about the Ravenswood lockout. But Rick called me one day, and I'll not tell that whole story, but Rick called me one day and said, you know, they need a shot in the arm. I think you're just the person to give it to him. So I had to meet him in Logan and get a stack of papers to read about that because I just got so disgusted with the news, I'd quit watching. And I mean, it was just like every time you turn the TV on, the first 2 minutes of somebody getting killed or getting robbed or a bunch of people getting hurt, you know, and I just couldn't take it. And so I read about it and read about it, and then I thought, you know, and he said he'd like for it to, there was a slogan, One Day Longer, and we had the shirts, you know, Gibson had the shirts with be along those lines. And I thought, well, you want to give me the key that you want me to write it in?
In a minor,
yeah. He said, yeah, it'd sound better if it was in a minor key. I said, well, if you want to give me some of the words, I said, why don't you just go ahead and you write the whole thing, I'll sing it. So we did it. I did it in A minor, and I couldn't rhyme longer. So I wrote One Day More. It's a whole lot easier to put in a song. And that's how One Day More came about. And then Barbara Popple was filming show number 9 for her series, TV series, We Do the Work. And Ravenswood was going to be the 9th show. And so she was going to be up there filming that night that he wanted me to sing the song for him. And I had bronchitis. I could barely talk. And I don't know, something happened when I started doing that song. You'd never know I had anything wrong with me. And immediately afterwards, I could barely talk again. But I sang that song for like 30 minutes. Those people climbed up. They knew it was them, about them. And they climbed up on the tables. We did it at the fairgrounds. No, it was the fairgrounds at Jackson County Fairgrounds is where that meeting was that time. And remember they climbed up on the picnic tables? And then the camera person was right in my face at one time. He even hit my teeth with the microphone while I was singing. It's like, hey. So she filmed that whole thing. I mean, she showed them, you know, but when it came on the TV, she played the soundtrack as they were walking into the Capitol building. And Rick's guitar got
in.
Yeah, it's 12
string. During my 12 string period.
And it was if Rick hadn't, you know, got me to write it, I wouldn't even started writing songs. I mean, I wrote that one, America Our Union, but that was just for that. Well, no, but at that point I had only written America Our Union, and that was out of necessity because I wanted something that was familiar that, you know, that I could say something through. Somebody else already had the idea for it. And if you hear the song, you know, I mean, that's what it goes right along the lines of America, the beautiful.
What role did that song have in the show?
Which song?
America, Are You?
Oh, it was like a national anthem for a long time.
Because you're the only one that ever heard it sing.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it was the only other person that I've heard sing.